Welcome back. Well, Colin Coleman, senior fellow at the Jackson Institute at Yale University, has argued that Africa is the last frontier for global growth, but the coronavirus may have thrown a spanner in the works. Colin joins us with more of his views now. Thanks so much, Colin, for joining us this evening. So you've put out some worrying commentary around the process of testing for COVID-19 in South Africa right now, having been tested, of course, last week. Just looking at latest numbers, we've got 62 identified cases. But from what you're saying, that number more than likely downplaying what we're actually having to deal with and the severity of the problem, given those that can't afford to be tested just yet.
I think that's a global phenomenon. I must say, I think the president won the hearts and minds of South Africans with his announcements on Sunday, because he was very decisive and there is a best-in-class approach to managing this virus. Obviously, it now has to be executed and implemented. But there are some chinks, I think, free testing for all, not meaning that all should be tested, but for those that qualify, is going to be important, because the last thing we need in South Africa is for this virus to hit the poor and those in need hardest, and to hit the rich least. Because it will exacerbate divisions in South Africa.
Absolutely. Not to take away from the human impact of it all, Colin, but what are some of the economic implications that we need to start taking seriously right now, bearing in mind that we've already been through a technical recession pre-coronavirus?
Correct. So I think there are three scenarios. I'm a senior advisor at a place called Eurasia, which has put out these three scenarios. One, the virus peaks in April. One, it peaks in July, and one doesn't peak through the year, or potentially peaks and then reoccurs. And it looks like the April peaking scenario is off the table. So we're really into a peaking scenario mid-year or July or at the end of the year, and that will have devastating economic implications. My former colleagues at Goldman Sachs have downgraded their economic forecasts for global growth in 2020 to 1.25% in the US, to 0.4%, and China to 3%, which is a dramatic revision in GDP forecasts, and that has South Africa 2020 at minus 2%. Inflation falls with a falling oil price despite a depreciating rand. But that kind of world for us is a devastating impact. It'll be devastating on jobs. And we really need, as South Africans, to relook at our fiscal arrangements, because we cannot afford for us to be spending too much on unproductive salaried expenditure when we need to invest in the public health system and various other things.
You talk about fiscal strategy in terms of combating this, or to try and alleviate some of the pressure. What about monetary stimulus? We've seen central banks globally act swiftly and in a very big way. What are you anticipating come the SARB's meeting on Thursday?
Yeah, I think the SARB has room to cut. They've had room to cut already, but I think this will push them to cut. I hope they cut aggressively, but you know, they will be data dependent. I think inflation, looking like it's falling to 3.5%, means that within their 3 to 6% target range, they have significant room to cut 50 basis points or perhaps more.
Yeah, you talked about the productivity side of the equation, or alluded to it a little bit. So beyond the monetary and fiscal powers at play, a question that immediately props up is, if you can see beyond the dust, that is, does it power inadvertently the fourth industrial revolution, where productivity, given the cost of productivity in South Africa, needs somewhat of a catalyst to start moving in the right direction?
There's no question that this virus is not going to leave the world in the same place. We're going to learn to move and accelerate technology. Just video conferencing, my class at Yale is going to be done via Zoom, which is a technology to teleconference. There's going to be a lot of online movement in shopping. You know, I'm a member of the Foschini board now, learning about retail. But I think that the trends that I've seen in living in New York of online development, I saw Amazon has just advertised for 100,000 jobs because they can't cope with the demand for online shopping and given this type of development. And I think these things are irreversible. These trends will accelerate.
But there's some skepticism as to just how much South Africa can probably leverage off an opportunity like that, given the kind of skills deficit at play and that we haven't been upskilling necessarily in the right areas as quickly as we've needed to.
Well, I would take the point of view, the data centers, the mobile phone companies, the technology companies, there is a significant investment happening in South Africa, in Stellenbosch, Cape Town, through the mobile phone companies, and talking to various of those executives in those companies, the financial aspects, the payment aspects are becoming much more active within the earnings of the mobile companies, both Vodacom and MTN, as instances, and I think that will grow.
Okay. Amidst it all, so we've been talking domestically. When it comes to global interactions here, you've written a paper on China versus US for dominance in Africa. How does that change these roles? Does it?
Well, I think this is going to be a major distraction from these type of issues. But China is, through the research I did, is very clearly extremely coordinated, very focused, strategically long-term in terms of its position on trade, on foreign direct investment, on military involvement in Africa. And I think this is going to confirm the trend. In the United States, the United States is going to go very much inward, I think, to reinvigorate its economy, to reinvigorate its potential at, to go from 2.5% to 0.4% growth in the world's biggest economy is a massive impact, not to mention the human impacts in the United States. So I think they will go inward for a while before they start to focus outward again.
Okay, well, let's leave it there. Thanks so much, Colin, for having joined me in studio this evening. Of course, Colin Coleman is Senior Fellow at the Jackson Institute, Yale University.